And of course, some of these are lifted in measure, because in the new covenant, we have the dawning of the new world, the new creation. When we come to the new creation, when we come to the kingdom of God that is dawning, we have the overlap of this world and this covenant with the new covenant that is going to fully dawn at the return of Christ. So in this life, we do have suffering, but we also have healing, and we also have God's power. So we cannot escape suffering 100%. And wouldn't it be wonderful if women didn't have pain in childbirth? But unfortunately, these things continue. And it wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't sweat and didn't have to work? But the truth is, all these things were given to us, and although they may seem like a curse, remember, there was a curse, and there are curses involved, but God was also limiting man, and by it he was limiting the development of sin. We don't understand suffering, but I have no doubt that later on we will understand that suffering was an essential part of God's dealings with the human race. When I look back on my life, I sometimes look back at times when I was really blessed and think, wow, that was great, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and when I had a vision of something, or when God used me in a wonderful way and delivered somebody, and that's great, I love that. And then I think back on the times I suffered, and I really suffered, and things, I won't go into all the things that have happened to me, but after the suffering, I realize that in the suffering, God has done something to break me. And I realize that I am a blessed man because of the brokenness that he ministered to me through suffering. Anyway, there's God. He changes the conditions, the boundaries of the human race, and he sets them. Now, we thank God, you know, this is not only physical. Later on, it's geographical as things move on. God makes the oceans. He makes the mountains. They weren't there in the beginning, it seems. God changes the physical world. That's in the processes of time as things unfold. But the point is, everything God did, he did because of mercy. I have no doubt that the oceans limited the spread of sin. The mountains did so also. If the human race lived on one island, same size, but no oceans, no mountains, just one round island, the human race, I don't know what would have happened to it, but the history of the human race would have been different. Now, you know probably that the world was originally one landmass. They call it Pangaea. It was one landmass. But God then changed the world and divided it up and made oceans and mountains and all kinds of things. And then he spread languages and divisions. And why? Mercy. If you have to learn Russian and Chinese and Vietnamese, it's mercy. You don't look so sure about it. But anyway, and when I try and learn Mandarin, I'm not sure it is mercy. But at the moment, while I'm teaching, I can get a bit idealistic. And there it is. It's mercy. It's all mercy. The truth is, in the Tower of Babel, you can see it. God said they're going to be one. If they're one, evil will just overflow. When Antichrist is able to rule and unite nations against God, it will be back to the Tower of Babel. W in the Hebrew is 6. www.is666. Now, does that mean the internet is Antichrist? No, it doesn't. But it does indicate to you that the plan of Antichrist is to unite the world in rebellion. We Christians use the World Wide Net for the glory of God. But there's a lot of evil out there on the internet. And I wonder how much evil spreads into homes through it. But there's this plan to unite the world. Well, God divided the world. Well, there it is. God sets boundaries. And in the New Testament, Paul actually mentions this. He says that God has set boundaries to the human race that we may feel after him and find him. In other words, God's put us in circumstances which are not perfect in our view. They are perfect. Have you ever thought your circumstances are pretty good? You say, no, you don't know my circumstances. My school, and I've got a bad teacher in my school, or I've got a colleague at work who's a real pain, and I've got a boss who's really unreasonable, and and I've not got enough money, and I haven't got enough free time. God says, I tailor your life so that you may push. You've got to push. Anyway, that's what God did in the covenant with Adam and Eve in sin. And you realize that when we look at these covenants, as we're looking at them, you realize that they haven't all completely finished. Some of these things are continuing in our day, like childbirth, like sweat, like the word, the ground, the physical ground, and so on. Like all these things we're looking at, some of them are things that continue on. They're God's setting in place the conditions in which human beings live. So that's the second covenant. Then comes the third covenant with Noah. I forgot the one important thing with the covenant of Adam and Eve in sin, is that in that covenant, God promised a redeemer. Isn't it wonderful? He said, you're going to have a child, and through that child, everything's going to be put right. Now, I don't know what Eve thought when that promise came, because he said the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. And then she had her first son, Cain, who actually killed Abel. But then she did have another son, Seth, through whom Noah came, and ultimately Christ came. And I don't know what Eve thought, whether she thought maybe one of her children would be the one to put things right. She didn't know. But what she did know was someone is going to come and put all this mess right. He's going to put it all right. And there's the promise of God. Actually, it's the promise of a virgin birth, because it's the seed of the woman. The third covenant with Noah, and then we'll have a break. So we're reaching a break time, don't worry. We're going to have a break in a minute. The third covenant with Noah. And you know that this was a kind of a... If you realize what happened at this time, the population of the world was probably millions. There is speculation that they were developing at that time under Noah, and that they may even have made further progress than we have. Well, I don't know if that's true, whether they found aeroplanes. Is that progress? Motor cars? The infernal combustion engine? You know, I don't know. But the thing is, they believe the human race was developing fast. And I have no doubt that they did, because they lived longer. Imagine what Einstein would discover if he lived to 950 years. The point in history is that once the human race is given time, they will discover a lot. Now, you and I might not be able to discover E equals MC squared, because you and I are not Einstein. Could you invent an aeroplane? You're shaking your head. You couldn't. But did you realize that it was ordinary people? I know they were a bit cleverer than us, but it was ordinary people who did it. A lot of determination, a lot of curiosity,